The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. And the dead are raised. And the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen. I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
So I want us to reflect a little on what expectations mean. Our expectations from God and God's expectations from us. We all have expectations, and we have things we plan to accomplish. Particularly as the Christmas draws nearer and nearer, we want to meet our expectations. In most cases, our expectations are defined by physical and material needs. And when our expectations are accomplished, there's a feeling of happiness. There's a sense of accomplishment. At other times, our expectations might look unrealistic, and the feelings are disappointment and sometimes sadness. Shopping might be your expectation at this time, right? You have a shopping list, and if you are able to accomplish your shopping list, you're happy. But when you wake up and see that you've not even started the shopping, it creates a sense of anxiety, a feeling of anxiety. Setting up your Christmas tree might be one of those things that you expect to do at this time. And if you haven't set it up to this moment, then you're like, what is happening? So you don't feel satisfied. I was talking with one teenage guy this week, and I asked him, he said, I expect to wrap Christmas gifts. That was so exciting for him, and he's looking forward to it. So for him, wrapping Christmas gifts is a huge expectation, and which is good. What is an expectation? An expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. This is how the dictionary defines expectation, that is a strong belief that something will happen or that it will be the case in the future. It's a belief that someone will or should achieve something. So I want you to understand that expectation can be an aspect of hope. But expectation is not the complete picture of hope. Hope is a guarantee of the things that are yet unseen, a realization of the things in future. Hope is a virtue that anchors on God. Expectation is our plan towards achieving something. This morning I had expected to see you guys at Mass, right? I had expected that if I came here, I would see you. But I had hoped that through this Mass, we'll receive the grace of God. As I was coming out this morning, I had expected to walk in through the back door, the back sacristy door. But I tried to unlock it, and it was locked from inside. Right? I had expected to get in through that door. But I had hoped to be in this Mass. So hope is a guarantee, because God fulfills that plan. Expectation might help to sustain hope or might crush hope. So if our expectations are accomplished, they help us to sustain our hope for bigger things. If they're not accomplished, they might affect that. And this is where faith comes in with hope. So if you understand that you believe in God who will help you to achieve something, whether your expectations are met or not, you still hope because God is the object of your faith. The gospel of this third Sunday of Advent presents us with some beautiful images of expectations, present us with joyful images. And John the Baptist was in prison at this time. He heard about Jesus, heard about the works that Jesus was doing. And John sent his disciples to go and ask Jesus if he was the one to come or whether they should look for someone different, a different Messiah. John had hoped that this Messiah will save the people from their sins. This is why he preached repentance. John had hoped that the people will gain salvation through this Messiah. However, having heard about him, John was possibly expecting a Messiah who would continue his style of admonition against the sins of the people. Perhaps also, John, being in prison, was expecting that this Messiah would intervene in his situation and initiate his freedom from the Jewish authorities. The response from Jesus is different. Jesus says to the disciples of John, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed for them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." I love this line. Just love it. Blessed is the one who does not take offense at me. So this is a huge statement. Those who do not take offense at God allow their expectations to align with the will of God. Those who understand God's will make their expectations to align with him, and they are patient. They wait for God. They allow God to drive their expectations. Whereas it might look like Jesus did not address John's question directly, Jesus made John's disciples to grasp God's intention in a better way. The mission of the Messiah is to bring not just physical freedom, not just emotional freedom, but importantly, to restore the spiritual order of things. That is what Jesus came to do. Restoration, recovery, reactivation, renewal of the spiritual order. The prophet Isaiah gives us a clue about what divine expectations mean in this first reading of today, with a series of grand reversals of the life and the story of the Israelites presented in that first reading. God's power is to fully rejuvenate and restore the deflated people of Israel. The Israelites, at this point, are on their return from the Babylonian exile. They had mixed feelings about their future. What would be this rebuilding of new Israel look like? And how would that be accomplished in the years to come, especially having been in slavery for quite a while? In the chapters preceding today's reading, the prophet had captured a sense of hopelessness and gloom. And I will point you to Isaiah chapter 33. In verse 9, the prophet said, "The land mourns and languishes. Lebanon is confounded and withers away. Sharon is like a desert, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their lips." But the Israelites are returning now. So Lebanon is mentioned again. Bashan is mentioned again. Carmel is mentioned again. But this time in a joyful way, because the presence of the Lord is going to restore them. So the prophet says, "The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God." This is what the Lord does. This is what he does. But what does he expect from them? The expectation from God himself of the people are: strengthen the hands that are feeble, make firm the knees that are weak, say to those whose hearts are frightened, "Be strong, fear not, here is your God." He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to do what? To save you. Spiritual order, restoration, recovery, renewal. My dear friends, as Christmas draws near and as the year comes to an end, there is the possibility that we may have expectations from God. There are chances also that because some of our expectations are unmet, many hands are feeble, many knees are weak, many hearts are frightened, many souls are depressed, emotions are dampened. It is possible that some relationships are smeared at this time, and the stable of our hearts and our souls is not ready to welcome this infant king. If I may ask you, what are your expectations? How are these expectations affecting you? How do they match with God's plans? And what expectations might God have for you? Balancing your expectations with God's expectations. That is important for us at Christmas. So to understand the true meaning of the coming of Christ, we must set our expectations aright. Christ says to the disciples of John, "Blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." So do you feel a sense of dissatisfaction with God or with yourself because of your expectations? Pope Francis was speaking to the Angelus crowd in 2018. And the Pope made this remark: "God does not conform himself to preconceptions. We have to make an effort to open our hearts and minds to accept the divine reality that presents itself to us." The Holy Father described that as what he called the scandal of the Incarnation. The scandal of the Incarnation is when people have preconceived notions about God, which keep them from recognizing him. So setting our expectations aright and around God's will becomes the way to go. The human condition makes it that sometimes we fail to understand what God is presenting before us. We fail to understand that God goes beyond our expectations. Life changes, life challenges, life failures, disappointments, experiences of suffering can keep us within the ambience of our limitations, incapable of a spiritual vision to see what God presents before us. So we become confined within our immediate needs. We want our desires satisfied. We want our hunger and our thirst quenched. We want our material longings relieved. And we want our physical healings. We want our material healings. We want our emotional healings. What happens is that sometimes we neglect to reach out to those in greater needs than ourselves. That is where our human needs and our humanity creates a gap between our expectations and God's expectations of us. God's expectation for us is to achieve holistic freedom, to constantly anticipate the joy of heaven. That is the joy we celebrate today, the Gaudete Sunday. The joy of God being with us, the joy of having this Emmanuel. Not the joy of setting up Christmas trees, not the joy of buying and finishing our shopping list. That is not the joy. The joy we celebrate is the joy that God the Son was made flesh and dwelt in your heart, in your home, in your relationship, in your family, in your business, that we carry this Emmanuel to those who need to feel him. So God's expectation for us is significant in our lives. What are your expectations? I ask you again, as this Christmas draws near, do you see yourself wandering like John the Baptist? Are you stuck in asking God what the economy is doing? Why is the economy biting so hard? Why would gas prices go higher? Why would falsehood and injustice keep reigning? Are you stuck in looking at the political terrain that you fail to see God's expectations for you? Yes, you might even be asking, like John, are you the one who is to come? Or are we to expect another? Because your expectations are not met. So the Lord invites you today to adopt an approach of humble and patient waiting and listening to him and finding out what his will is for you in your life. So Christ comes to bring restoration, recovery to our human dignity. God's plan for us is to let the joy of Christmas reach out. Let the poor hear it. Let the downtrodden hear it. Let the blind see through your presence. Let the deaf hear through your presence. Let the dead be raised by your presence. Let the poor be excited because we share in this good news. God expects us to share his blessings, that we radiate his glory. God expects us to become sources of hope to others. And I tell you this, once we align with God's expectations, then the world will realize more that the coming of Christ is at hand. Amen.
Amen.